Exodus 4 in your Bibles. Exodus 4, we'll read a few verses, pray together. Something about the new year, always, I have certain texts just come to my mind, and that's been happening the last few weeks, actually, and to the point that almost I can't help but preach from some of these texts and teach from them because they've blessed or encouraged or convicted my own heart. And that's true of this one in Exodus chapter 4. It's nothing new to anybody here, of course, but I hope that as we begin a new year, this new month, some of these texts will also reverberate with you through the Spirit of God as they have with me. And Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. When he cast it down, it was alive. When he picked it up, it was no longer alive. Verse 17. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." Our Father in heaven, we need your help tonight as always, and thank you again for speaking to my heart and encouraging my heart and challenging me, Father, through your word and this reminder of what you asked Moses and then commanded him to do. May we understand the power of it for us as well, and we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Verse 2 again, a very familiar question, you'll notice, God asks of Moses. "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he, Moses, said, A rod." Verse 17, "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." Now, of course, when God asked Moses, what is it that you have in your hand, it was a reminder to Moses. God knew what he had in his hand. It was a reminder to him that as a shepherd, as a man who no longer held the future golden scepter of Egypt in his hand, but rather this staff of a flock of sheep, it was a reminder to Moses, and I think tonight ought to be a reminder to all of us, that God loves to use and usually puts into our hands the simplest of things, even to do his greatest works. "What is that in thine hand?" God asked. And of course, Moses looks down and he sees something he's seen every day for 40 long years. And it's just a stick. It is a simple shepherd's staff made out of wood. And yet God says that stick, Moses, that shepherd's rod, because you know how the chapter starts with him complaining, "Lord, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to follow me. This is never going to work, this whole plan." And so God says to Moses, he says, "That's all you will need with me to deliver my people from Pharaoh's empire." Now, ponder that for a moment. We're talking about the greatest, most powerful empire in the world. One of the most powerful empires in the history of the world. So that when the Lord came to Moses and told him, as he tended his own sheep, that he would be the one that God was going to use to deliver Israel from that mighty empire, it was understandable, it was perfectly understandable, that Moses would respond in the way that he did. He struggled with his faith. He looked at himself. He's an 80-year-old accused murderer fugitive with a stick in his hand, and he has the smell of sheep. And he's wondering, how is it ever going to happen? And I'm not going to accuse Moses for not immediately saying, "Here am I, Lord, send me, we can do this." But for rather thinking, "Here am I, Lord, send someone else," which is what we probably would have thought. I'm not going to accuse him for thinking what we probably all would have thought, and for having the same question we all would have had. If God came to you in your profession, I saw Robbie here this morning for church. If God came to Robbie and said, "Son, I want you to go to Israel right now tonight, January of 2020, and I want you to deliver Israel from all 22 surrounding Arab nations, eradicate all terrorism, neutralize Iran, what do you think would be his first question if he had this vision tonight when he got home from church? He'd say, Lord, how? I mean, where would I begin? And then God says, Robbie, what is that in thine hand? And Robbie looks down and he says, a stethoscope. And God says, cast that steth down in church. And it turns into a snake. What do you think Darlene would do right there with the snake on her feet? We'd have an extra door in the back of the church we didn't have before. If he did that, if he had his steth around his neck and cast it down and it turned to a serpent right there at his feet, what do you think Robbie would do then? Probably the same thing Moses did. Verse 3, and he said, cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. Probably he would run, right? That's what you do. When you see a serpent, this is probably a cobra, a poisonous serpent. And then God asked him something unusual. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Robbie, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now look, you know, I know, anybody who's watched Dusty the Wild Man knows that no one should pick up a serpent by its tail. It's alive, unless you're a professional. And Moses was not a professional. So he did what I would do. He ran from the snake. And I have to tell you again, all of this truth and information is given tonight for our benefit. We know that because the scripture says so. Even Jesus, beginning at Moses, expounded on him all the things concerning himself. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Now, why did God ask Moses that question? It wasn't for his own information. It was, he knew what was in Moses' hand. It was for Moses' information. And it was also for us here tonight. This whole prelude to this amazing and miraculous deliverance is to teach all of us priceless truth about possibilities and priorities and power that wouldn't otherwise be known. A few things tonight I want us to consider. Number one, God did not ask Moses to use what he didn't have. His question was, what's in your hand? Lord, I can't do this. Nobody's going to believe me. Nobody's going to believe that you met with me. He didn't ask Moses to use what he didn't have. He says, what's in your hand? Now, I want to say this tonight. This is why this was an encouragement to me. You may not have a graduate degree in your hand. You may not have a $1 million portfolio in your hand. You may not have a ton of talent in your hand, or youth, or beauty, or position, or strength. But all of that is totally okay. And I'll tell you why. Because this year, 2020, God is going to desire that you fulfill his will for your life. God has a will for you this year. And he's going to want you to fulfill that will. And the good news is you will have all you need to do it. When God calls, he qualifies. God will not ask you to use something you don't have, or he will not provide. So the question tonight is not, what do you wish you had in your hand? There are things I wish. I wish I could sing. I mean, I can sing, but you know what I mean? Because I'd sing in all my sermons. I would, because Lester Roloff used to do that, and I was amazed, and it spoke to my heart. But I don't have the courage to do it, because I don't want mass exodus in the middle of my messages. There are things I wish I had in my hand. But God doesn't, it's not what you wish you had in your hand. It's not what someone else has in their hand, and you keep looking at that. So that it's not a matter of if you can fulfill the will of God for your life this year because you can. The question really is just, will you? It may be that God potentially will tell you to go get something in your hand this year in order to fulfill his will. And maybe that's a degree, I don't know. But you can be assured that even in that, God will therefore give you the strength or the ability to do that thing, whatever it is. The point is this, you have all that God will require to do his perfect will today. But Pastor, I don't have any money in my hand. You know, that little boy whose lunch fed a multitude didn't have a lot of money in his hand. He had a little lunch. The widow, when she threw in her little mite, she didn't have a whole lot in her hand. But she did the will of God. And if you don't have some great portfolio, that's fine, because you already possess something that's worth more than money anyway. Say, what is that, Pastor? Well, for one thing, you have time. You know, a lot of millionaires died this past year. A couple billionaires died this past year. Which means that right now in 2020, you're already wealthier than all of them. They have no time left. They have nothing. You have time. That's not all. You know what everybody in this room has in your hand? You have a Bible. Amen? In fact, take it in your hand right now and hold it up. Say this: this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. No, I'm just kidding. I will now put it down and never use it the rest of the message. Some of you know what that's about. Some of you don't. What is that? Think about this. What is that that you have in your hand? Well, beloved, it is the eternal, infallible, inerrant, inspired, life-giving, powerful, sharp, discerning, preserved word of the living God. You have in your hand the word, the living word of God. Is that enough? Well, yeah. That's amazing. Some of you have a prayer sheet. Someone put one up here. I have a prayer sheet in my hand. It represents for me right now the local church, Christ Church, that you belong to. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, a local body of believers, we assemble together for edification, encouragement, for service, worship, exhortation, and evangelism. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. You have that, regardless of the size of the location. The local New Testament church is the most powerful, life-transforming assembly in the world, in the history of the world. You ever notice that when Jesus wrote letters from heaven to earth? Now, this is the Lord of glory, the creator of the universe, writing letters, correspondence, if you will, from heaven to earth. He did not write the letters to the capitals of the various regions or countries. He didn't write the letters to the chambers of commerce. He didn't write them to the universities or the military stations. He wrote to churches. To the church at Thyatira. To the church at Ephesus. Big, small, wealthy, poor, prosperous, suffering. The Lord of the universe works today through and in the local church. Be glad. What is in thine hand? You have a church. You have the word of God. We could hold a hymnal up and let it represent the victory and the joy. We just sang a song by P.P. Bliss. Once for all, that dear brother wrote great hymns and went home to be with the Lord in ways that people wondered about. This song that is our birthright of victory. You can hold a pen in your hand that represents the fact that you have the simple tool of communicating to loved ones, neighbors, friends. God has given you the tongue. And I'm just saying that you have in your possession already and right now all you will need to be all that God desires for 2020. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, there are differences of administrations, and there are diversities of operations. But, now first he lists all the things that's different about us. People have different gifts in this room, different operations in this room, different abilities and administrations in this room, of course. That's a local church. And then he says, but it is the same God which worketh in you all. Amen. The same God. Different gifts. Quit looking at the other person saying, look what God put in his hand. And just recognize what God has placed in your hand. It doesn't matter what God puts in your hand as opposed to someone else. What matters is that God desires and God will work in your life. Did you know that a lot of things people will use, they will use what they can't do as an excuse to keep them from doing what they can do? Pastor, I can't go to the mission field. No, you can't. It's not God's will for everybody. Pastor, I can't run a children's home. I can't preach to multitudes. You know, there's some things I can't do just like that. But don't forget that you can go to your little mission field. And you can raise your children or your child. And you can speak to that one that God tells you to. And whatever else that you are supposed to do this week, this month, and this year, you can do it. And you can do it all through Christ which strengtheneth you. Again, he didn't tell Moses to use what he didn't have. So stop. This is the year for you to stop moaning about what you don't have. It's just a stick, Lord. It's just a stick. I used to hold the scepter of Egypt. Now I hold a shepherd's rod. Number two, if God does not have you, God does not have you if he does not have what's in your hand. Let's read it again. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. Now hear this carefully. It is true that in verse 4, God would tell Moses to pick it back up again. But what's illustrated here, and more so as you'll see in a minute, what's illustrated is that you have to be willing to surrender what's in your hand for God to use what's in your hand. God doesn't really have you unless he has what's in your hand. And you know, here's the thing. If you think about it, that staff that Moses was holding, as simple as it's just something made out of wood, pretty much represented all that Moses had become and was over the past 40 years. As a shepherd every day, think about that, for 40 years, every day, he was a shepherd. When he went to bed at night, it probably wasn't far within his reach. That thing represented him. It was never far away. I would imagine something similar is true of a nurse's staff. It's almost part of them. I would imagine the same thing is true for an accountant's calculator, or a carpenter's rule, a quarterback's playbook, for Moses. For Moses to throw the staff down is a perfect illustration of surrendering everything about him to God. This represents me, my life, who I am, and God says, put it at my feet. Throw it on the ground. And beloved, in that sense, God doesn't have you unless he has what you have, unless he has what's in your hand. And we must ask ourselves, am I willing this year to cast what I have before the feet of Christ? Those talents that you have, whatever they are, that ability that God's given you, that diploma, that money, that position, is it yours or is it his? You young couples in this room, I mentioned earlier the idea of time. Jeffrey, what do you have in your hand? And you know, more than any of us in this room, you have time, you young couples, and more than most of us in this room, you have time and opportunity in your hand. You have years and youth that some of us don't have anymore. The real question is, does God have it? When I was in the 10th grade, I heard a preacher at Sand Mountain Bible Camp talk about a bank account. And he said, there's a bank account with $86,400 deposited into it every day. And he said, young people, and I sat out there and I listened to this, and I've never forgotten it, even to this day. You have an account with $86,400 deposited into it every single day. The only thing is, he said, you have to spend all of it on that day. You can't save any of it up for tomorrow, and you can't draw on tomorrow's account and deposit. Every day you are given, you can spend all of it or nothing of your $86,400. And then he said, young people, what will you do? And he said, well, God gives every person 86,400 seconds each year, each day. And he said, you can't save any of those seconds up
and spend them tomorrow. And you cannot draw any of tomorrow's time and spend it today. All you can do is take today's deposit and spend all you want in whatever way that you want on this day. It's 2020. It's hard to imagine. I still remember Y2K. How many remember Y2K? Man, we were over there on Center Street talking about, oh man, the world's coming to an end. We were preppers. Everything was going to shut down. Planes were going to, you know, it was just a mess. That seemed like just a few years ago. It was 20 years ago. Here we are in 2020. And as far as time is concerned, you have the same thing in your hand today that Moses had in his, the same amount of seconds. Whether you are young or old or middle-aged, or the absolute perfect age of 61.99. Whatever you have left, give what's in your hand all of the days and all the years to him. Right? See, as soon as you let go of your life, that's when God will do something with it. I've read a lot of biographies. I love biographies. Saved people, unsaved people, presidents, generals. And I can tell you that it's the people who let go and let God that their life has a lasting, even eternal impact. The ones that just hold on, just it's just about money, success. They get it. Yeah, they get it. And they die. And nobody cares. And the impact of their life is nil. Other than for themselves in that short little time. Just about every Christmas in the old days, I used to see a Salvation Army worker in full uniform. You don't see him much anymore. The ones in the full uniform, and they will have on their sleeve those familiar letters, SS, which 100 years ago actually meant something. I'm always tempted to ask those guys when I see them, I used to, if they know what it means on their sleeve. Because what the SS stands for is saved to serve. And that ought to be the motto for all of us. We're saved. Hallelujah, we're saved. For what? Fire insurance? We're saved to serve. And we're given something. It's called time. If you're saved tonight, you have a high, holy purpose and calling. And it may not be to deliver a nation like Moses. Certainly not my calling. It may not be something like that, but it is to serve and exalt this exact same God as Moses. The same God worketh in all of us. And the truth is, if you give what is in your hand to God, then God has you just as much as he had Moses. Isn't that amazing? If you surrender what you have in your hand, if it's not a shepherd's rod, it's an engineer's, I was going to say slide rule. You don't use slide rules anymore, do you? Showing my age. Whatever it is. Then God has you just as much as he had Moses. If you give and let go of your 86,400 seconds, those seconds to God are treasured as much as the 86,400 seconds that Moses gave to God. And you have to think about the fact that for 40 years, those seconds were just tending sheep. But he was faithful. Third point in the text. We see, number one, God didn't tell Moses to use what he didn't have. And he won't do that with us. Not this year. Not this entire year, for whatever God's will is for your life, he won't call you to something he doesn't qualify you for or equip you for. Number two, if God does not have you if he doesn't have what's in your hand. If you're holding back, well, the Lord, you can have this. I despise the piece of the pie theology in American Christianity today. And it's pervasive. It's I have my life. There's my entertainment pie. There's my family pie. There's my vacation pie. There's my work pie. It's the biggest one because I'm making money. Oh, and Jesus is a piece of the pie. I always make sure that I pray in Jesus' name or something at the end. It's like these guys that come up and get their awards for hip-hop music, and all the hip-hop music is blasphemous and takes God's name in vain. And they got to, at the very end of the speech, they got to say, and I want to thank God. Or Jesus. It's piece of the pie theology. Jesus is the whole pie. All. Christ is all and in all. So the vacation part, it's done in his will. And the work part, his will. The family part, he is everything. God didn't tell Moses to use what he didn't have. If God doesn't have you, he doesn't have what's in your hand. Reverse that. Number three, when you give what's in your hand, then God changes the ordinary into the miraculous. Then God does an extraordinary work. Look at verse 17 again. And thou shalt take this rod, this stick, this piece of wood, in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Now, wait a minute. It was just a simple staff. A shepherd's rod, as you all know, was a stick about 6 feet tall. It was used in part to whack wayward sheep. I need one of those. I need one about 40 feet. It hit Jeffrey messing with my PA system. Wham! Meh. And that stick in Moses' hand is going to deliver millions of people out of bondage to the world empire? Yep. You know, God didn't say, if only Moses, if only he had a cruise missile, if only Moses had a standing army, what I could do and deliver my people. And if only he had a navy so that we could cross that Red Sea. That simple staff was more than enough to the God of the universe, because, as you know, that staff would strike the Nile and turn it to blood, and that staff would smite a rock, and water in a desert would gush out. That staff held high would win a battle. It would divide a sea and then close it back. You know, the thing is, if that staff were in existence today, if it were in a museum somewhere, went on tour like King Tut did years ago, remember? If that staff was around, you know that people would have pilgrimages. They would wait in line just to touch it, to get the magic from it, just to revel in it. Some charismatic would break it up in little splinters and sell them for $900 a piece. I'll send you a splinter from the staff. Not realizing that it's just a stick and it's not the staff that did the work. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, because actually that happened to Israel. The brazen serpent. They kept that thing for centuries. We're talking about the brass serpent in the wilderness, you know, and look and live, and they looked up and they survived the snake bite, and God worked a great miracle. They kept that relic. For decades, even centuries. And what happened centuries later? Sure enough, Hezekiah, that great king who led a revival, took that brass serpent and he held it up. He said, you people are worshiping this thing. You're worshiping the brass serpent, the thing, instead of the God who did the work and the miracle. And man, he did a brave thing, remember? He called it Nehushtan, which means a thing of brass. And then he smashed it in front of all the people. Can you imagine taking a lighter to the Declaration of Independence? You're worshiping this thing instead of God. He smashed something they thought was holy. But beloved, it's not the stick. It's not your degree. It's not your money. It's not your talent. It's not your ability. It is what God can and will do with it. And you know, it's not what is or isn't in your hand tonight. It's what you surrender to God with it. Pastor, I'm just a homemaker, stay-at-home mom. There's no such thing as just a homemaker. God will do extraordinary things through you. I'm just a teenager. I'm just a father. I'm just a church member. I'm just a wife. I'm just a teacher, just an engineer, just a construction worker. Oh, no, no, no. You give what you have, and who you are, whatever is in your hand, that's when God takes the ordinary and he does something extraordinary, even miraculous with it. And by the way, You may not even know what he does through your life, and you may not even know it was miraculous and won't know until you get to heaven, but that's okay. Because the real miracle anyway is that God simply wants you. He wants your fellowship and he wants your service. I'll remind you that the entire purpose for God to use Moses and to use that staff was to deliver a people, to redeem a people in bondage unto himself. And that's exactly what salvation and redemption is anyway. Delivering those who are slaves to sin to become the servants and the children of the Most High God. So that's the miracle he wants to do anyway. So surrender it all and let him do it. If you think about it, this entire narrative is an illustration of both salvation and sanctification. I love the word believe in the Bible. I love that word for obvious reasons. And whenever I see it, it just pops out at me. It popped out in verse 1 of chapter 4 when he says, they won't believe, verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers. So how is this a picture of salvation? Think about it. Number one, God spoke to Moses. Number two, Moses heard God speak. Number three, God gave Moses a simple command. Number four, by faith, Moses obeyed that command. And number five, God turned death into life. That's the whole story of salvation and redemption and even sanctification. All of that comes by believing and obeying God. After Exodus chapter 4, the staff is never again referred to as a stick. From that point on, it is always called the rod of God. You have all that you need. And if you don't have it in your hand right now, God will put it in your hand. You have all you need, you will have all you need to fulfill the will of God for your life this year. And I'm convinced of this. What God would convict us of at the beginning of the year is lay it at his feet. And say, here am I. Here it is, Lord. You can use the word just if you want. Some qualifier. I'm just of this. I'm just of that. You can do that all you want. Doesn't matter to God. Just say, Lord, here I am. I'm this. I just want to do your will this year. Fulfill all his will. And God's people said, amen. Father, we are so grateful tonight, again, for the example of this man Moses, who over and over again in your word is called the servant, my servant Moses. And I thank you, Father, that that's a reminder to all of us that we can all be servants. You may not have called any of us in this room to deliver a nation, most assuredly not, but you're calling us to serve you. And whatever you've given in our hand that we have tonight, we can do your will. As godly fathers and grandfathers, mothers and grandmothers, young couples, parents, employees, employers, church members, teachers, greeters, security servants, all of us, Father, can do your will completely, and I pray that we will. And in so doing, Father, look back a year from now and see how you took the ordinary and did something extraordinary. In this church, with our children, with lost souls around us, please, Father, take what we have and continue the work of redemption for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.